Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, November 2nd, 2010, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-host, Lavendar. Today, Lavendar's topic is ETs and politics, since today there are elections happening across the country, including the vote in Denver to establish an extraterrestrial affairs commission. This exclusive report will reveal the inner workings of the ETs' involvement concerning our political leaders and why and how they are navigated by higher powers of ET heritage. She'll also reveal, for the first time, the past lives of former President Ronald Reagan and Frank Sinatra and their connection in 1980. Our mini-series, Crack Between the Worlds, will continue next Tuesday. Afterwards, we welcome your comments or questions. Please be mindful of others who will also be waiting with questions. We'd like to thank Sierra for co-hosting in the chat room today, and I do think the chat room is open. For those who can't call in with questions, for those who can, the call-in number is 917-889-8292, and press 1 if you have something to say. You can also listen on your computer at blogtalkradio.com/Starseed Radio Academy. Before I introduce Lavendar, I'd like to mention that if you register for free here at Blog Talk Radio and click the little red heart on your podcast player or the word follow, you'll get an email notice when our next show is coming in case we don't know you yet. All of our past shows are available on demand at blogtalkradio.com/Starseed Radio Academy. If you're new to our show, you've missed a lot of chapters, but they're still available for you to catch up. Also, Starseed Radio Academy is now available on iTunes. You can download shows to go, and it's all free. It's a great way to catch up on chapters you may have missed when you're away from home. Just open your iTunes software, which is a free download, and click Podcasts, which can be found in the Library section, then go to the bottom of the screen, and in the second column, click Browse. We're in the Spirituality section of the podcast directory under Starseed Radio Academy because they don't have an ET or UFO section yet. Anyway, please don't listen to our podcast while driving. You never know what can happen. If you haven't visited our main site yet, which is starseedhotline.com, we have a lot of fascinating and necessary information for Starseed in our vault of knowledge, like Lavendar's discovery of star markings, Solar Return, Your 10 Hours of Power, the Teton Reports, and Starseed Booby Traps. It's a free internet classroom library for Starseed. We also have an archive of past teleconferences you can hear on our headline news page. Just click the scrolling banner on the main page and it takes you to the headline news page. Once you're there, near the bottom of the page, you can also find the video slideshow where Lavendar tells the details about her discovery of star markings and the Pleiadian lineup where she spent 2 days in the Great Pyramid with a Pleiadian ship overhead conducting a giant walk-in procedure, and it's a spellbinding story. You can see the pictures on our main site. Just go down the list of links on the left and click Magical Moments Caught on Film. We also have a support forum for Starseed at starseedhotline.ning.com. That's .ning.com. We'll be talking with Lavendar in just a moment, but first I'd also like to mention that she has written 2 books for Starseed, which are now available as e-books on our site. The first one, 50 Questions and Answers, is a transmission from the Antares Arcturus Midway Station, where she had the opportunity to ask 50 profound questions and be answered clearly and truthfully by Silovan, an ascended guardian of this galaxy. The second e-book, Quartz Crystals, A Celestial Point of View, is a comprehensive guide for the starseed use of crystals, including solar star dates for the next 10 years for charging crystals with galactic frequency. These books are a must-read for starseed to understand the galactic big picture and your part in it. If you want to contact us privately, the toll-free number for our website is 888-881-0881. If you'd like to learn about the new device that disables unsupportive implants, relieves pain, and resets your energy, call our toll-free number or email lavendar@starseedhotline.com, and that's spelled L-A-V-A-N-D-A-R. So, we would now like to welcome Lavendar.
I'm here. Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Would you like to preface your talk before we start it?
Well, I'd just like to say that this Sunday I called you, Ariel, and said, you know, I really am ready to release the information about ETs and politics. I didn't think I could hold it till Tuesday, so you and I recorded this. So I'm just wanted to say that this was a very profound awakening for me to do this now, especially because of the election that's happening today. So you can go ahead and hit play.
Okay.
This is Lavendar, and I woke up this morning, which is October 31st, 2010, with the revelation to probably download some information to you, Ariel, about ET and politics. And this probably will be on the radio show. It's, you know, we'll just talk about that later to see if this is appropriate for Tuesday, because on Tuesday we do have a huge election that's happening, you know, in the United States. So I just felt the need to download this and to record it with you. So I just we'll just take it as it comes, and I'll just let it flow as I'm, you know, downloading from my records and from the things that I've seen through the years. I'd like to start out by saying that in October of 1980, I was very, very aware, and I was in Las Vegas at the time, and I was having some really intensive training by an ET named Olaf. And Olaf was in my life for about 6 months on a daily basis. And he is a Nordic and was left here on the planet to do some work. Actually, he missed his show-up time to leave the planet. So once he was left here, he had things he needed to do. And at another time, I'll go into more detail about Olaf. But in October, there was several things that was happening in 1980 with the President Carter and President Reagan campaign. And if you remember at that time that we had hostages in Iran, and Carter was trying to get them out, but the forces that were working with Reagan actually pulled the coup and gave Reagan the play for getting the hostages out of Iran. So that kind of positioned Reagan to look like the better guy for the vote. While I was in this training with Olaf, I asked him, I said, tell me a little bit about how this particular experiment on the planet has to do with the elections. So he said, well, we're going to show you some information when you get to Aruba, but I'll tell you briefly. He said, The soul of Ronald Reagan, we can take him as far back as King Poseidon in Atlantis. And he was at that time very responsible in for the giant crystal and for some of the experiments that were going on. And a lot of people on the planet have reincarnated back from the times of Atlantis. So the memory of him and what happened in Poseidon needs to be reactivated in people's souls and memories. Not because Reagan is such a pure, innocent soul from his records. That's not the point. The point was, he said, that because of mass distribution of bloodlines and records in Atlantis, that there needed to be a place to start for transmutation processes. And it was to have the leader from Atlantis be the leader again in the United States. Because after all, the crystal implants had been given by the Atlanteans to the American Indians and to some of the programs that had been put here by the Pleiadians, you know, it just kind of dovetailed into the experiment of the election with Ronald Reagan. So I said, okay, I get that. So when I was in this training with Olaf, he said to me, he said, now, you know, there's going to be a wave of energy that comes down from the ships, and it's going to activate the people's memories. And he said, depending on how the activation of memory happens, determines exactly how they're going to vote in the voting booth. Also, there are some other ships that will be coming along, and they're called booster ships. And what they'll do at the moment of the polls being open, they will extend a ray of remembrance, and that will further activate the people in the voting booth. I mean, you could go in and say, oh, I'm going to vote for Carter, but by the time you got to the voting booth and in there with your pencil in hand or the button or whatever, you just simply go over and vote for Reagan. Well, I got kind of upset talking to him about this because I was raised a Democrat in a political family, and I said, are you telling me that you may have the intention to vote for one person, but you get in the voting booth and somehow you're thought adjusted for another? He said, that's right. Well, I just kind of went off the reservation for about an hour over this. I calmed down. And so he said, "Will you?" He said, you asked me for the truth about how elections are run, and I'm telling you. He also told me that in the future days that we would have satellites that and technologies that if the government ever decided to use it, that the government could facilitate the same technology and they would start playing with the elections. Now, in 1980, not only was this hard for me to hear, but I didn't have the understanding of HARP. We didn't have the cell phones or, you know, the kind of communication systems that we have now. But, you know, he put it in the back of my brain. And so through these years, as I see different elections happen at different times, you know, Bush of 08 was, of course, one of those times. It just, you know, resonates to how elections are actually manipulated by higher forces and by beings with the help of bloodlines on the planet. There's several things that are considered. The bloodlines, the intent, the propaganda, the misinformation. You know, it's like I was just thinking before I called to download this, you know, if you really want to safeguard your brain from interference, if you have a clear choice of where you want to go and how you want to vote, you turn off your TV and your radio, you know, and go into silence for about a week or two before the elections so you won't get bombarded by misinformation. And the cell phone, you turn off your cell phones, you turn off all electronic devices if you really want a pure election. How many people are going to do that? None. So it's like, okay, what is our alternatives here? Well, that's to educate the people on the technologies that are happening on the planet with our government in cahoots with ETs. Once you understand how those two things dovetail, work together, and manipulate the people, then you won't be so upset when your favorite candidate doesn't make it. So if you want to ask me something now, I've got more to say, but if this is a good time to ask me something, I've been talking like for 8 minutes.
Yeah. I am assuming that any ET race has this technology and this ability.
Yes. All of them. I mean, it's basic.
So that
we're
they
talking
can
about, they, yeah.
So that they can go to their own bloodlines and be broadcasting certain urges or suggestions to vote one way, but another bloodline won't respond to that ray. They'll respond to the ray of their own kind. Is this true?
That's true. And we have now interlopers, the ones that come and want to duplicate and want to piggyback on a frequency and do trickster in the middle of voting. So that's in play now. Okay. It's like, oh, and then you have the implants. Then you have the crystal implants, you have mechanical implants, you have implants in the DNA. And so they're up there sitting, punching all these buttons of harmonics and frequency, and they match the satellite. I mean, this will give you an Einstein headache to figure out how they do this. No, really.
Well, I never heard that phrase, but it's an Einstein headache is describes it perfectly. So if all this influence is being beamed with pick this one or pick that one or vote this way or vote that way, then the whole exercise of going to the booth is just, it's just a game.
Yeah, but here's where I want to encourage everyone to vote. Just because you think you're being manipulated, there's one part of you, if you can stay really true to, you have the right to vote. There are countries that can't. You are participating in an experiment. You may be manipulated, but at least you need to show up. You need to show up. You know, a lot of people say, well, I'm not going to vote because it's my vote's not going to count. But here's what happens when you do that. You give up some of your sovereignty in other areas of your life. So you don't want to vote? Okay, next week when the paycheck comes in, it might be lesser. Why? You gave up your right to receive something. It calculates in a funny way. You know, it may be a different subject, but when you exercise your right of freedom, it gives you freedom of sovereignty in other areas. So, you know, don't think because, well, I'm not going to vote because my vote's not going to count, and I can't do anything about it anyway, and I don't want to watch TV and know what's going on because I can't handle what I see and it makes me feel bad. And but you're giving up your right of freedom. It's the freedom ray. If you take all those judgments and all those misconceptions and put them to the side, just stay to your freedom ray, the freedom that you're going to go in there and do this, even though you know that these things are playing, you know, shore up a little bit. Get a little stronger and say, you know, I know this is playing. I want to see. I want to see how it really affects me. I'm gonna write myself a note on my hand, or I'm going to say, I'm going to vote for so-and-so, but if I come out, you know, and I voted for somebody else, I know that somebody's really tricking me. You know, make it a game for yourself.
That's what I was going to say. If you make up your mind and write it down on a piece of paper and then take that, so make sure you have contact with your lucid self when you may be under influence.
Yeah.
Write down your intention on a piece of paper so that you can't be changed involuntarily.
Right.
And I understand what you mean about the energy. A little exercise, this is a little bit off the point, but if I'm walking down the street and I see a penny or diamond, whatever, if I see some kind of coin, I will pick it up because it's the energy of I found money, I found, you know, something useful, and to look at it and say, I'm not picking it up, it's only a penny, that might close the door on other energies for receiving.
It's the same. So it's the same. Yeah, same energetic, different result. Same energetic. Okay. Now remember my story about Frank Sinatra. Okay. So I go on down to Aruba, and of course the election happens, and of course it's Ronald Reagan, and I start a series of 3 weeks daily. You know. It starts about 5 in the morning, and the sun's coming up, and I'm taken to, the video screen turns on in my head, and I have beings that come and say, okay, today's session is about Atlantis, and, you know, all, and so I have like 3 weeks of recordings of the Atlantis story for 5 generations. So they started out with saying, you need to know this information about Ronald Reagan, because, you know, he's just been elected president now, and you need to have this under your belt. I said, okay, fine. And we need to show you the players that he plays with in this lifetime and who they were then. Well, Frank Sinatra at that time was one of King Poseidon's court jesters and best friend and, you know, kind of a shaman and kind of, and he also decided that he was in that lifetime a singer. He could stand. What they did was they experimented with him, and they gave him an artificial voice box, and they set the harmonic to match the frequency of Kundalini in women and in men. Okay, it was an experiment to see what they could do with music and sound and sexual energies. And so this is one of the grand scientist experiments. And so there was Frank standing there with a mechanical voice box singing, and women were just, you know, tearing their clothes off, and men were just jumping on top. I mean, I don't want to have to go into all the details of that. Just use your imagination. There it was. And so in this lifetime, when he incarnated as Frank Sinatra and he started singing, the women started doing kind of the same thing. But back in the 50s, they didn't tear their clothes off and start fornicating. They just, you know, went kind of in a hysterical demolition type of energy, yelling and screaming. And the thing about Frank was, here he was skinny. He didn't have the sexual prowess of... you know, that was going to be able to turn women on. But when he sang, that's what happened. So here was Frank Sinatra in the years of the 50s, you know, exciting all the teeny boppers. At the same time, there was President Reagan, who was in the film industry. So, and he was doing all kinds of pictures, you know, about war and different things. And so now we fast forward, and now President Reagan is in power, and who does he put in charge of his inaugural chairmanship? The person that's going to put together his inaugural, but Frank Sinatra. Now, after I see all these, I record these 3 weeks in Aruba about Atlantis and all the different players, and who Reagan's family was in that time. There was his daughter and, you know, and son and wife and all of, I have that all written down. That's not important today. But anyway, I get ready to, and in those days, I didn't have television in Aruba. We didn't have it. We didn't know what had happened back in the States at all. I was given all this information and had no contact with newspapers or radio or TV or anything. So when I fly back to the States, first of all, John Lennon's been killed, and then I get off the airplane in Miami and I look at the headlines, and there's Reagan with his arm around Frank Sinatra saying, you know, here's my dear buddy, going to be inaugural chairman. And I'm going, oh my God, what a confirmation is this for me at this time? And so, you know, I started tracking it and seeing how it all played out, and I filed it, put away, and I said, you know, at some point in time, this is going to be important for later. And, of course, later is today. So I wanted to bring the close relationship of those two men in this lifetime and in that lifetime and how it was part of an activation for Atlantis. Because the activation of Atlantis had to do with technologies and misuse of power. And, of course, look what happened to Atlantis. It went bye-bye. And now look at where we are in the United States and all the experiments that are going on with bloodlines, with technology, with the scientists, with the Tesla kids, you know, with HARP, cell phone towers. Again, you know, when they do HARP, they can turn on HARP to go to the cell phone towers that go to the Air Force bases, back to the cell phone towers, back to the cell phones, and then you've got a whole group of people that you have their brains, and all you have to do is flip a switch and tell them what you want to tell them in their subconscious, their superconscious, or in their bloodline. It is really a tapestry to behold. So if you have a question now, I'm ready.
Well, just to repeat, I think we said this in an earlier show, but you did say that America is the reincarnation of Atlantis.
It's part of the reincarnation.
Part of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's the place where they decided to run the experiment from. It's the place. Okay? It's like if they had to find a piece of ground where they could run it from. So there's a lot of people in Europe and other places that are connected to Atlantis. And see, now that we have the internet and we're global, now they can be included in the play. Do you get what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, but it's
not
the place.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, if Atlanteans reincarnate anywhere, and America is just the
place,
the headquarters, so to speak. And also because the Atlantean crystals were buried in this country, also
right.
kind
and
of brings that home.
Right, and all the Atlantean crystals in Hot Springs, Arkansas area, you know, they are activated now. They've been going off now for some time, you know, and every month there's a digital that goes in and goes, and they go up and up and up. It's always an up spiral. No down spiral harmonics are allowed, okay? I mean, we've got some safeguards that go, no down spiral harmonics allowed in the Hot Springs area. So, and we have guardians, and we have beings that make sure of that. I mean, they have to double check to see, you know, what technology is being brought in there daily. I mean, you want to talk about galactic homeland security? That's what's going on in Hot Springs. No, really. I mean, well, they had to. Why? Some darling little, you know, white light Nazi person came in with their radionics machine and went inside and turned it on inside the crystal cave and caused an earthquake in 10 states. They had to shut it down. They had to do it. They have to set up the safeguards because these, you know, white light Nazis, thinking that they're hearing a message, oh, God spoke to them, or their ship spoke to them, or whoever, and they go in there and set those dials for peace and harmony and cause earthquakes? Don't think so. And just what, Monday of last week, 7:15 p.m., what happens all over the planet? Seismographs go off in every country on the globe at the same time. First time it's ever happened. Mother Nature didn't do this. This was either man-made, ET-made, man-made, ET-combination-made. They were probably running a signal getting ready for this election. Just my guess. No one's really said that to me. I just kind of, you know, I'm on my own tracking this. Because one of the things that I've been asked is, well, who's going to win the elections? I'm not going to go into predictions. I'm not going to, you know, I stay away from that. I have feelings about things. I kind of have knowing about things, but I don't publicly go, you know, how I think that it's going to turn out, because I'm not going to be one of those predictive psychics that gets tagged for making a wrong call later just because, you know, they go in and start throwing the switches on people and it's totally the other way. So, not going there. And this is going to be aired, I guess, to, you know, on today. I mean, tomorrow's election day. So, anyway, but I just thought that I would give my insight. Oh, and there's one other little story about Reagan. One time, Lucille Ball was talking to this actress that I know, and she went outside with Ronnie to, I don't know what they were doing outside. But Ronnie comes up to her and goes, you know what? He said, there was a spaceship that came down, and this man came and told me I was going to be president of the United States. This was like back in the 60s or something, or 50s. I mean, it was really a long time ago. So Lucille Ball, you know, grabs this actress and says, come to the bathroom, I got to tell you something, and relates his story. And so it's like, okay, they were playing at that level even then. So it's like, oh, you know, they'll come and tell somebody that, or get them included, and I guess make him feel more important than he was, or and probably they had to start doing the cloning, because they do clone all the presidents. Every president we've ever had has been cloned, and we have duplicates. And of course, we're all wondering about the clones and duplicates of Obama. And that'll be another subject matter. And like I've said, I have not seen his name on the ballot in 2012. I don't know who's going to be on it, but I don't think he is, for maybe lots of reasons. So, I'm open for questions with you again.
Would you say it's safe to assume that Obama is the president and it's what the ETs wanted?
It's not about what the ETs wanted. It's what the experiments declare.
Okay, let's phrase it a different way then. They declared that he was going to be president, and they made it happen.
No, well, let's put it this way. They activated enough people that knew the stolen records of Akhenaten, okay?
Of who?
Akhenaten. From Egypt. They had enough people hooked up to Atlantis and Egypt and their soul memories, and when they saw him, they went, oh, he's our king, okay? So that's part of it. I mean, that's just part of it. And you got to remember, they've had Obama, you know, they've had the soul and the Obama and the lineage and the DNA and, you know, and all the, you know, they can take a little piece of DNA from, you know, King Akhenaten from Egypt, and they can clone and put it in a person's womb, and they can grow them. This gets very complicated. But anyway, no, it does. You know, and when Obama went to Egypt, and he walked into the pyramid, and there was his picture. There, I mean, it carved thousands of years ago, even with the big ears. He said, "Ooh, look, it's me." And everybody goes, "Yeah." Everybody thought how cute it was. I about fell off my tricycle because I knew for sure what I'd been tracking all this time, and there it was. And there it was. So you have this many people's soul memory activated. And, of course, you know, this king in Egypt, he wasn't all that pure. A lot of people died. You're going to have both. You're going to have people just hate him and people that just love him. But they needed to activate further the Atlantean experiment, which was part of Egypt. I mean, this gets very complicated. You know, it just keeps going a ring higher and a ring higher. And it's like a stew. You're making a stew. Add a little ingredient here, add a little ingredient there. Okay, let's see what this tastes like. Ooh, this doesn't taste too good. Let's throw it out, start over. And then they come up with really a great recipe. And then they're on a roll where everybody's getting activated everywhere, from the Civil War to World War II to all the wars and all. And then you bring somebody in that's going to neutralize the wars on the planet for a period of time, along with the help of some ET experiments. Like I said, this is gigantic. And these Teton meetings, all this is the kind of stuff that's discussed there. And no wonder when you come back to your bed, you don't remember. I mean, and what good would it be for you to remember what I just said? It's like, okay, you know. And by the way, I had someone that I talked to today. I just want to, while it's fresh on my mind, you know, when you have that 10-hour window of solar return where your blood crystals are 1,000 times stronger than any other time, well, this person woke up the next day so depressed she could hardly get out of bed. And here's what happens. After you have a big acceleration of your blood and your DNA, the brain chemistry the next day can go haywire and really throw you for a loop. So if you do get depression right after your solar return, after your birthday, like her birthday, solar return was the day before on her birthday. That's why you need to calculate it. You need to know when this 10-hour window is. Well, on her actual birthday, she was just terribly depressed. And so I told her, I said, well, knowing who you are and knowing what's activated in you, you probably got rid of some bloodline of like 14 generations ago that still wanted to war somewhere. And so a frequency went in and just simply banished it. And so sometimes a brain chemistry will happen in your brain and you'll be just sad because it's gone. So I did want to mention that today.
But it's a temporary situation.
Oh, yeah. Now she's great. She said her week has been great. She's really up for a lot of things and you know, is going to take some trips. And she's on it now. But I just wanted to mention, don't get downhearted because of, you know, you have this great acceleration on your solar return, and the next day you're in the dumps. It just happens that way. Try not to put judgment on it. You know, judgment is the place where we go and decide if it's right or wrong or black and white and get ourselves really in trouble with what we think we know.
So. It's almost an analogy to a healing
Yeah.
Sometimes if you have had a healing, you can trace and have symptoms and things like that, but it's part of a healing process.
Yeah.
Even though it might not be too fun to go through, it's short-lived, temporary,
right.
And
right.
What's coming is going to put you in a higher place than ever.
Right.
So that's good. That's good information to have, and especially make sure that your silica intake is adequate, because not enough silica. I mean, the more I think about it, a lot of starseed are complaining of having depression. I mean,
bad silica,
depression.
That's and right, well, and it helps. Yeah,
your silica almost overnight.
Yeah,
I mean, if I forget to take it, and I feel that coming, I take it again, and it goes away.
Yeah.
So it's very closely related. Depression is very closely related to silica deficiency.
Right. Also, I want to mention that Pleiadian lineup's coming. Also, that there's some predictions about, you know, things are going to happen the first 2 weeks of November because of computers coming up with, you know, some kind of analysis. And then we have this seismograph earthquake thing happening last Monday. You take all those things together and you go, oh, something's up here. Now, I don't know if it's going to be a red flag event or what it's going to be. It could be, I have a feeling we've got another crisis in the economy with monies and mortgages and some announcements about some of the mortgages and money thing that's going to cause Wall Street to go through its little thing again. And I just want to say that whatever it is, everybody needs to get really, really steady, get very strong. Make sure you always have about a 3-month supply of food and water, always, from this point on, because we're going to have all kinds of things that could snap, crackle, and pop. You just got to be ready. You know, it's like my animals. I want to make sure that I got lots of cat food. Something happens where I couldn't get cat food for those cats, I'd be more upset than, you know, than anything. And people that have their pets, you need to think about that. I'm not saying that disaster's coming. I know that a lot of things are on the drawing board that can happen. And one of them is that the satellites can simply go down and no computers and no way to get food and cars and fill up your gas. I mean, the whole thing could just happen. So everybody just needs to be prepared for that. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying lots of plays are in motion. So I just wanted to bring you up to date on what I know about technologies and also how that the computers and the voting machines can be rigged and how all that is just, that's another piece of the puzzle. And then, of course, there's the intimidation of people going to the polls and staring at people and making sure that they don't vote for who they're supposed to. That's going on. A lot of people are angry. They're angry because of 8 years of Bush, but they've transferred it over to Obama because the bloodline is activated, and they wanna blame the black man and a king from Egypt, and it gets pretty crazy because they don't use logic when they come up with these insane statements that are being made about him. And of course, we have seen a change of personality. We've seen different clones. We've seen, and a lot of people don't understand that they're not looking at the same person that they voted for. So,
I know you said you've seen several walk-ins come and go from him.
Absolutely, absolutely. And some of the political people that I work with, believe me, I have seen so many walk-ins coming and going through them. It's like I hardly know. The revolving door has really got me trying to keep my own balance and keeping our conversation straight, because I don't know sometimes who I'm talking to. And I won't reveal any names at this time, but, you know, some of their elections are up, and they may be unseated, and I'll be very sad, you know, if that happens. What was the other thing? There was something else that my brain's going so fast today about this, because it's a place where starseed need to know more about themselves and how to track their surroundings and their friends and their families and the voting process and our freedom ray. You know, our freedom ray needs to come back to itself. without this technology interference. But until you know who has the buttons on the machines, who's controlling the technology? Who's allowing it in our government? And what ET sources are hooked up to them? And that's how you have to track the outcome of some of these elections. Now, there's some cause and effect of some of these officials that is so strong that I've seen it override some of the technology that's trying to go the other way. See, there is a 55 critical mass of cause and effect that when it's punched in, it's like the ETs put their hands up and go, hands off on this one. It's too big. It's too big. There has to be a balance within the bloodlines, the cause and effect, the reincarnation pattern. They have to do a certain alignment in a certain way. That's why it can be tipped in favor of one or the other, because it's close to 53 and a fourth or 54 and a third, and they can tip it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right. But once it hits 55, it's...
Yeah.
You can't change
yeah.
it.
Yeah. It's called 55, you're it.
Yeah. So what I was just getting from that was that ETs are either, not the word governed, they are constrained to follow harmonics, bloodlines, frequencies. There is a set of what works and what doesn't work, not
yeah.
only technologically, but in thought forms that they might be sending. So that while what they can do may sound miraculous, it's not a supernatural type phenomenon. It's simply having technology that we can't even imagine, and that technology is constrained within certain parameters that have to exist before it will work. Is that
yeah.
correct assessment?
Right, right. Yeah. Then you have these people that's got radionics machines or the God Box, and they decide that they want to influence the election. So they all turn them on. You know, it's like, okay, that's another, your stew's going right along with all the ingredients, and then all of a sudden, oops. You got some new players that want to bring peace to Israel, and in 24 hours we're at war. I mean, I've seen this happen.
Well, it's like a 3-year-old picking up a shotgun and thinking they know how to pull the trigger and what to aim at.
And because they saw it on a video game, yeah.
People that do have this advanced technology have purchased, gone out, and just because they had $15,000 to buy something does not automatically endow them with the wisdom.
That's true.
As I told you years ago, no one, not you or me or anyone, has the discernment to use that kind of technology, not in this time period, because...
There are some, let's put it this way, there are some, and I have seen some, but they're so few and far between that...
But they're ineffective because
they're
such a small minority that the people running around wielding this technology that get a little bit of power and they think they can do anything they want.
Well, you see, and what happens with this technology, like the God Box, is that, look at Tiger Woods. He had one and it helped him, and it brought him fame and perfection, and I mean, it really can absolutely power you up to where you're just, you know, right on point. And look what happened to him eventually, okay? And look at Armstrong, the bicycle guy. He had a God Box. Worked for him too. And then it's almost like the energy turns around and just eats you alive. That's the only way I can explain it.
Well, they were obviously missing some critical understanding of what they were doing.
Oh, yeah, it's called discernment.
Right.
High discernment. And putting themselves at the advantage of others constantly.
Well,
In a competitive race. Yeah. When you use it for competition, it's going to turn around one day and just bite you.
Well, having the drug of power.
Yeah.
And they don't know when, and they can't quit.
And they can't quit.
So they take it too far, just like any other drug. It corrupts.
Yep. Yep. And look what it did to both kundalinis, okay? One got cancer. The other ate him from the inside up with sexual addiction and just craziness. So those are two figures that I know of. I know of others. I just won't go into naming them right now.
Well, let me change the subject a little bit.
Okay.
Ask you another question because it's timely. Tell us about November 1st and its significance following Halloween, the 2 days together.
Well, this is a time when there's a harmonic that goes off that has to do with the roundup, the astral roundup. It's there was really a reason for this, the October 31st and November 1st being a time when they call it All Saints Day, because some of the wandering spirits that have crossed over have been wandering around, and so there is a collection that takes place, and they simply need to go see the light, go through it, and go to their next evolutionary jump. So the reason that you see the monsters and all the things of Halloween is some of them don't want to go. And they're running and hiding, and they're, you know, trying to scare. They try to, you know, when the group shows up saying, hey, we're going, they come out with ugly faces and try to scare them. to no avail. Okay, by the way, that's why they call it All Saints Day.
And that was, that's what you're referring to as November 1st is All Saints Day?
Yeah.
And the 31st is when the roundup happens?
Yeah, uh-huh.
And then November
1st. And also, aboard the ship, they disconnect the Jesus frequency for 24 hours and let it play out. It's like the Christ consciousness takes leave and says, okay, everybody in the pool, you know, sink or swim, see where we're at. Send in the team, this is a roundup, you know, let's just see where it's at. It's comical, but it's necessary.
So when you say they disconnect the Jesus frequency, allowing other energies to wreak havoc if they choose, if you take the handcuffs off and the guy tries to run away, then you know that he should have been handcuffed in the first place. And if he straightens up and flies right, then he gets to go on. So
yeah,
they disconnect the Jesus thing.
Right.
To see who was being good because of the handcuffs, or who was actually good all the way through.
That's true. That's very true. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And see, that matches that May Day. May 1st is the other place, and November 1st. It happens twice a year. Happens just before Pleiadian lineup every year.
It's almost a house cleaning, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a form of house cleaning, of trickery, and the astrals that are still wandering the planet. It's a roundup. You know how you go round up the Mustangs and get rid of them once a year? Well, that's kind of what this is.
Well, it's spring and fall cleaning.
Yeah, it is.
And you have to keep getting rid of the old people. I mean, the old people, the energies that are just hanging around and twirling around and not getting anywhere and not moving on. Because if you don't get rid of them, there's new ones coming in all the time, and we'd just be overrun. It's like your closets are you open up the door and there's just stuff falling out. So you got to get rid of some stuff, because there's always new stuff collecting.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah, well, I just wanted you to talk a little bit about that because when this airs, it'll be Tuesday, but today it's Halloween, and tomorrow will be All Saints Day.
Yeah.
And don't you also call that Avatar Day? Is that another name for it?
Well, you know what? This is when the avatars, they pull rank. Let's put it that way. The avatars of the ages pull rank, and some of the Christ and Jesus frequency is turned off, and they take a check and see where everybody's at, and they do their roundup and their house cleaning, and certain things are allowed. You know, some terrible things are allowed this time. You know, a lot of sacrifices, and a lot of animals are being killed, and experiments that are just have gone too far, and you know, that it's because it's allowed. Let's just put it that way.
Well, and they have to allow it to go 55.
That's it.
Before
that's
they
it.
Can do anything about it. It's like, okay,
yep.
we were just
yep.
waiting for the last straw, and now you've done it, so here you go. But they have to wait for that last straw before,
yeah.
as I said before, they have, they're constrained within certain harmonic parameters.
Right.
That, you know, we can't move until it gets to here. And
right.
as much as we might not like to see it get to here, we can't do anything until it does.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the other thing I want to say about this particular election, boy, is there really a close eye on women in power and how that certain women will probably be in power. And there's a whole women in power structure that's being monitored and seen after, and there's going to be huge repercussions. Let me put it that way. Trying to straighten up the women alignment on the planet. And we'll have a more in detail show on Athena in the 96 and where all that started and how the women broke the links and all that later. But they're watching it very closely. They're seeing where the alignment is on the bloodlines and the women and the power structure and how it's been a patriarch society and how it's being, you know, transformed. So I'll be anxious to see how many women are elected to offices Tuesday. So I guess that's about all. Yeah, and you know what? We'll get back to my stories out of my journal, out of the vault. But I just felt like that, you know, because of this subject matter and that because of the voting being tomorrow, it just needed to happen today, okay?
Okay.
Which will be aired tomorrow. Okay.
I'm glad that we did this because we have to sometimes get the information while we can because you never know what's going to happen on Tuesday as far as
That's
remembering
right.
all this because... And you call me up and say, I've got an energy with me. We got to do this right now. So that's how we've recorded this. And
yeah.
And now we will get back to our live show.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
Well, we are back live. Lavendar.
That was quite
informative. We have some... callers with questions. Do you want to say anything before we get to that, or should we go right to it?
Let's just go right to it.
Okay. From the 937 area, 937, you're on the air. Do you have a question or comment? Hello? If your phone is muted, you should unmute it. From the 937 area, you're on the air. Okay, looks like they're not on the air anymore. Okay, we have another caller from the 614 area, 614. You are on the air. Do you have a comment or question?
Hi, Ariel and Lavendar. This is Brandon. I missed you guys.
Hey, Brandon.
Hey, I just made it on. I was making my mom and dad came home for dinner. I have a question. Did Michael Jordan have a God box? Because I'll be so sad.
I don't know. I don't have that information.
I came on right at that point, and I heard you talking about Tiger Woods and everybody. And you know, if you look at what happened in his life, too, it kind of fits that scenario, you know, with his dad and then with his marriage and stuff after that. And then he kind of retired.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have any information about him.
Okay.
No, I don't know.
One more thing. And the other thing is I recently found out that another significance of Halloween – and I don't know the validity, so I'm just putting it up there for you guys, is that it's also a remembrance of the day Atlantis fell.
Oh. You know, I'd have to check to see the astrological date on that. I don't have that information.
Okay, and I'm quoting this from Bashar, if you guys are familiar with them. It was channeled by Daryl Anka through Bashar. I remember one of his recordings where he actually mentioned that Halloween is just a celebration of that, you know, that day where Atlantis fell in that energy, and that's kind of whether people realize it or not, that's the one of the significances of it too.
Yeah, it makes sense, but I don't have that date.
Remember, Atlantis went down three different times. The last time, though, was the big one.
Okay. I'm not sure, but from what he was, saying, what I got from it, it seemed like might have been speaking about the last time. But I just wanted to put that up there.
Okay.
And if anybody else has noticed, I've noticed a lot of UFO sightings since it came into my awareness, and it seems like it's happening more and more. Because I've had two personal accounts within the past 2 months, and the most amazing one was the one I seen on the, not this past full moon, but the one before that. I saw a portal open up in the sky, and it was like a purplish hue and blue hue, and it was this bright light that streamed across the sky and went to it, and then it just kind of closed on itself, and it just blew me away. I was having a bad day, and then I've told everyone about this because it's the most amazing thing I've seen to date. But when that portal closed, I knew that was a something to get my attention to let me know that, hey, the superficial things that are going on in your life is very minute compared to the grand scheme of things. So
true.
I just want to let everyone know this.
I want to thank you, Brandon, for your website and your continued support of what we're doing. And I just want to thank you one more time for always being on the planet doing the work.
Thank you. You inspire me, to tell you the truth. You guys enlighten me, and I just... all thanks go to you guys, honestly. That's why I love to always tune into your shows. It's always enlightening.
Say thank you.
Thanks, huh? Brandon.
Oh, you guys are welcome.
Okay, we will go to the next caller now. From area 928. Hang on a second. Area 928, you are on the air. Hello.
Hi.
Do you have a question? Hi, do you have a question or a comment?
I don't have a question or a comment.
Oh, see, it's someone else. It's on the 928.
Hello?
Hello, are we on the air?
Yes, you are.
Okay, it's Nina and Brack from Sedona, and we just want to say thank you, and we're blown away, and we love you.
So much for calling.
Thank you. Thank you. That was a lot of information that a lot of people haven't ever heard before, but, you have to know if you're going to move on. So
we really enjoyed it, and we'll talk later.
Okay. Thanks, Nina. Bye, Bracken. Okay. We have another call from... hang on a second. Hello. You are on the air, Mr. Funky Bob.
Greetings. How's everybody this evening?
We're doing great.
Excellent. Well, I'm enjoying the show. I wanted to thank Lavendar because she did a reading. She did my chart for me. And she told me I'd be into a bit of treasure hunting. And I've actually been in a hole for the last week digging. No luck yet. But the thing is, you see, I'm learning about the spirit world. And I'm learning that men can be quite cheeky. And they actually quite enjoy leading you up the garden path. But I kind of figure I've found some really nice ladies from history that I'm making contact with that were obviously the Lady Dianas of the time, and I got a bit more faith in them,
Uh-huh.
But I wanted to thank Lavendar, but also I wanted to ask her specifically about the rapture. To see whether, because I got a feeling it's going to be coming in 2013, and I wanted to ask her about that to see whether she had any views on that.
Well, I do know that there's going to be some extraordinary upliftments that happen on the planet. I'm not sure I'd want to call it the rapture because the things that are written in the Bible give it another connotation. I do know that a lot of star people have been cloned, and if something happens in their area where they actually lose their body, their souls will go immediately to their clones, and the clones will be taken to another planet, an alternate Earth. So I kind of think of the rapture as being something like that instead of the biblical terms.
Okay. Oh, but something's going to happen. You know, there's something's going to happen.
Well, several yeah. somethings are going to happen.
Yeah, it's too complicated to be summed up in one word.
Yes, right. I mean, there's just going to be so many different kinds of transference of power, energy, people. But you know what? All of the species will be duplicated. We will not lose the genetics of our animals, our insects, our plants, our the flora, the fauna, everything. They have plans for everything.
Oh, well, that's fantastic, because that leads me on to another question.
Okay.
This BP bogus oil spill, the melting of the methane glacier, some are saying that once that methane glacier, which is 1,500 miles wide times by 10 miles thick, fully melts, then it's going to render everywhere above a couple of thousand foot uninhabitable. And I'm wondering what our alien cousins, would that be within the realms of possibility for our alien cousins to actually fix that kind of job? Because if obviously all the upper atmosphere was methane, I mean, I've always wanted to go, for example, to Tibet. And obviously Tibet's quite high up. And I'm kind of presuming that if something like that did actually happen, it would render, you know, areas like Mongolia and Tibet like uninhabitable. And I'm wondering whether they would have any contingencies for that.
There are contingencies, and they, you know, we've been given so many things already to correct the situation, and you know, it's like we're real slow learners, and we don't want to do the environmental solutions that would keep this from happening. And of course, when it goes 55 critical mass, oh well.
Yeah, yeah. No, well, that's it. It's all critical mass. It's all science. Nobody really knows kind of thing.
Yeah,
but apparently they've got about 30 tons of gold out of the job so far. So, you know, they're doing rather well.
Where are you calling from?
I'm the United Kingdom.
Oh, okay, good.
You did a reading for me, and it was a real inspiration. And
good,
round about
thank you.
Round about the same time, because you told me I'd be interested in finding buried treasure, and around about the same time, I had all my blocks removed. And exactly at the same time, I bought a set of dowsing rods, a very old set. And in 1969, they were £97. So they're like $5,000 in today's money.
Wow.
And they are like extensions to my hands. It's incredible.
Oh, good. I'm so glad that you're doing that. You're going to have a lot of inspiration, and a lot of things are going to happen because you have, you know, gone into your mastership. And this is good.
I'm loving it. But you see, I'm realizing that some of the men spirits are a little bit cheeky, and they like to, you know, they like to lead you up the wrong path because it's a bit of amusement kind of thing.
Yeah, we probably need to send the Roundup crew.
No, well, yeah, maybe. But the thing is, I've made contact with some really nice people from history, some lovely ladies that seem rather honourable, and I've got a feeling that my information that I get off those ladies are going to be a bit more, it's going to be a bit more accurate than digging a hole for a week. I was 9 foot down in pottery clay. It's quite, it was quite an adventure.
And, well, good for you, yeah.
And I came up empty-handed, but I'm still so happy because I've got all these new skills. And it just, it's, my imagination's just exploded. And it's down to you, and I thank you.
Thank you. Thank you
for telling us that. Thank you, Bob. Thanks for
always
listening.
Always a pleasure. Keep up the good work, ladies.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. See, we have another, I think this is another caller from the 614 area. Hello? You're on the air. Hello? Do you have a comment or a question? Area 614.
Hello?
Hello? Hello, is this
Hello?
Brandon again?
Yes.
Okay, sorry, Brandon. I thought this was another caller from 614. We'll be back. We have the next caller. It looks like you're calling on Skype. You are on the air. Do you have a question?
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Lavender.
Yes.
Oh, good. I am on the air. Hi, Lavender. And this is Tricia. I had a reading with you a few months back as well, which was fantastic. Recommend everybody get one. And you had turned me on to the book, The Expected One, to read. And I just want to say that I did have some amazing experiences while I was reading it. Actually, I have to lie. I didn't read it. I actually went to buy it at Barnes & Noble. It wasn't there. So I went to the library, and they had it in the cassette form. It was 15 CDs. And so I started to listen to it being told to me as a story. And the actual actress that reads it is phenomenal. Her voice changes when she goes into the different texts and different people and different time zones. And so you kind of can get into that feeling when she's reading it. But I started to drift off a few times, and faces would appear in my third eye. A very old, wise man appeared. I mean, he was amazing. And then I turned it off one night, and I went to bed, and it continued talking in my head. The voice came as a channel and started to channel this beautiful message that I was going, what's happening here? And so I just wanted to add that the book was really profound. It did really move me.
Good. I'm so glad. Now, are you ready for the next two books that she's written?
This is it. I went back to the library and ordered the tapes again, and I'm actually about six cassettes into the second one, and there's two things that have jumped out that I already wrote about. It's the weirdest thing. I'm writing a screenplay right now, and two of the things that were in the beginning of the story, I'd already put in the screenplay. And the other thing that was really bizarre was I love the Queen of Sheba story, and when I was a kid, my sister used to always say to me, oh, who do you think you are, the Queen of Sheba? And so when I started to read her, I got goosebumps. So that was a really nice energy, too.
Good. I'm so glad.
Yeah.
This is always wonderful confirmation, so I really appreciate you coming on the air and talking to others, because a lot of people that listen to this show have also been reading The Expected One and the series of books. So that really, I'm sure, will uplift a lot of people that are listening. Thank you.
I won't say what it is, but I recently had heard somebody that kind of, you know, there's certain people that irate you in a sort of way that you don't know energetically. You just don't get a sense of being in tune with them from, obviously, from past lifetimes. And this particular person I heard had heard on air once of someone was doing an Akashic record and had said their past lifetime and things like that. It ended up in the book. I mean, it was part of the book. I won't say what it is. But when I was reading it, I just got, whoa, he was not a nice person within the story of what happened to Jesus and Mary Magdalene. And I got goosebumps, and I could really relate to what it was that was happening now for me in this current time, because I know that I was there when they were walking. This was the interesting thing about reading, instead of reading it and actually listening to it, which, by the way, I love, because I grew up with the radio. As a kid, we didn't have TV, so we had the BBC World Plays, and, you know, so it was a nice memory to actually listen to a story like that. But when it was being transcribed, I was visually there. I could actually see everything that they were saying, because I wasn't sort of formatting it as a reader. You know, it was a different energy for me. And so I just thought I'd hand that on.
It goes into a different part of your brain. There's what you see goes into one part of your brain, and what you hear goes into another part of your brain. So that it just had a different doorway that opened
up
other doorways. You know, in the same wing of your brain, so to speak. But that's great. Thank you for that report, Tricia.
Yeah,
we do have other callers.
Go. I will let you go, because it was just a grid that turned up in a third eye once. That was three red grids with the word Syria underneath it, and I thought that was pretty interesting too. But thank you. I will continue listening. I'm going to mute you.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Tricia. Bye bye.
Bye.
Okay, well, we have a caller from the 404 area. 404, you're on the air. Do you have a comment or question?
Hey, Lavender, here. This is Deborah.
Hello, we can hear you. Say again.
This is Deborah.
Hey, Deb.
I was wondering for the politics part. I know that the Democrats and Republicans aren't working together, and it's really splitting the U.S. apart because they're really fighting each other rather than cooperating with each other and negotiating. I'd like your understanding of how we can make that better, or if we can make it better at all.
Well, it's about power. You see, it's about the ones that are in elected offices, right? It's all about power. And what's so sad about it is that we don't have enough real balanced politicians that understand that can change it. And so we're in a polarized situation right now because of, you know, they want to stay in power. They want to keep their seats in Congress or in the Senate. And it's about their money. It's about their power structure. It's all about power. And it's about big corporations and the big corporations who own these people. So it's, you know, it's real out of balance. And when it becomes 55 critical mass, it will change.
So there's nothing we can do about it at this point in time? Hello?
Lavender, did you hear her question?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Personal responsibility for knowing how the game is played. You know, you start with yourself, centered and balanced and putting yourself in positions where you can influence others to stay out of polarity. That's all we can do right now.
All right. I think that's about it for the questions about politics. So, what was your opinion about the 2012 election? Like, who's going to probably come into election, I guess?
I don't think a lot of things have been decided. Everything is changing daily. And I just, you know, I don't think that the players have been positioned yet on the chessboard, and that's what we're watching right now.
All right.
Oh, it's too soon to tell. And also, there is the other factor of what the global consciousness of humanity and the consciousness of the American, as far as our own elections are concerned, what happens, what needs to happen, will depend on what's called for. So until that plays out and we know if people are moving and evolving and progressing and going in an up spiral, it might have a different outcome than if all of a sudden, you know, chaos breaks out, then that would require a different solution. So I think it's too soon to know because we haven't made our play yet.
All right. So, I don't know, is there going to be a lot of chaos because of the elections, I guess?
I was simply saying that there, if there is a lot of people that aren't taking responsibility and growing up, that can cause chaos. But,
okay.
I mean, it's just a, you know, if the family becomes dysfunctional, then certain things have to be done. And if the family is functional, then it can move onward and upward. So we all just need to get along.
Yeah.
Okay, Deb. Well, thank you so much for calling in. It's always good to hear from you. We'll say goodbye now and move on to the next caller. Thanks.
I'd like to say something about there's an energy that seems to be prevalent on the planet now, and it's called siege and ration. Let's seize your money, your land, your credit cards, your bank, your information, and then we'll ration it and tell you what we're going to give you. That seems to be a huge energy move that's happening on the planet right now.
And
is there anything that a person could do?
Be aware that it's happening. And then pretty soon there'll come a time when there'll be enough people that'll say, I'm mad as hell and I'm not taking it anymore.
Well, yeah, put my name down for that. Oh, well, we have some more calls. Let's check in with Sierra.
Okay.
She's in the chat room. Hello, Sierra.
Hello,
Ariel.
How are you?
Great, thanks.
Okay, so I just wanted to check in and say that we here in Denver are very, very, very excited to hear the outcome here in about an hour about the Initiative 300, which is the ET Council that Denver would be putting together, First Contact. And I just wanted to just share the excitement and the electricity and my concerns, a couple of concerns that I have. I was asking people just around in the last few days if they had voted, and it seemed like there was some misconception happening, which we worked very, very hard not to have. So it's so interesting that, Lavendar, you were talking about how the bloodlines can, you know, things can be sent out to the different bloodlines, because I had a conversation with a lady today, and I said, her thing was, we don't need something else to have to pay for. And I said, well, people don't pay for it. It's privately funded. She's like, oh, yeah, through grants and stuff. And she just kind of looked at me dumbfounded, like she'd meant to vote for it and had no idea why then, because her excuse about voting no against it was not valid. And she just kind of blinked at me like she was completely lost in the conversation, and I totally get it now. It just makes so much sense. I think she went in there with the intention to vote for it, and something kind of clicked over in her brain that, oh, no, you don't want to vote for something you have to pay more money for, and then got out of the voting and realized, you know, I probably talked to her about an hour after she voted and was very confused by the conversation. So that makes a lot of sense to me. So
I hope she's in the minority.
Right. Sarah, does it feel like that it's going to pass in Denver? What's your feeling?
I have to be quite honest with you. There has been some serious HARP activity going on here lately, and it just feels very oppressive. And the conversations that I've had with people have just been attempting to move people towards opening up. I'm hopeful, but I'm a little doubtful, unfortunately, just because of being here and talking to the people that I have contact with on a daily basis, and just their ignorance and their just ignorance and not knowing really what it was all about and what it was designed for, and hoping that my conversations were going to impact people and asking them to then talk to other friends that they had. So I'm hopeful, but I definitely feel another presence here that's been very disheartening.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Sure.
Well, we'll know in an hour. But you know, the bottom line on the Extraterrestrial Affairs Commission is that the real purpose was to get people engaged in the discussion and having them consider possibilities that they hadn't considered before. So win or lose, it's already been a victory because it has engaged the public in openly discussing the presence of extraterrestrial intelligent life around our planet. And so my congratulations to Jeff Peckman for his vigilant support and initiating this whole thing. And job well done, Jeff.
Yeah. Bravo.
Absolutely.
So, you know, and New York City is about to start the same ballot initiative. So if not Denver, then somewhere else. But as Lavendar, one of my favorite Lavendar-isms is, you come now or come later, but you're coming. <You know>? So you think about that and spread that one around. Okay. We have another question from a caller. So thank you, Sierra.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. From the 832 area, you're on the air. Hello,
hi,
you have a question.
This is Heather. I'm calling from Houston.
Hi, Heather.
Hi. You actually, I got on late because I got my time zones mixed up, but you actually answered my question, I guess, and the girl before the last one's question about just reaching a critical mass. Those were the thoughts that I was having today, that we're getting close to that, and that when we do, will we just see that whole system crumble as far as the political control and everything?
Yes. I'm so glad you called in, Heather. You know, I've had you on my mind for like 2 or 3 days. So
you've been online.
We had a dear friend, Jeanette, that crossed over on in August, and we just found out about it, and her memorial was not far from you, and I was going to call you to ask you to drive over to it, and then something distracted me, and I never did get back to making the phone call, but I had you on my mind.
Oh, thank you. I wish I didn't get to hear the whole show because I called in late, so I'll have to go back and listen to it, but you know, now that we're in the election time, I've been thinking a lot about it, and I feel like we're getting close to having the number of people that just aren't accepting of this control anymore, and then whenever we hit that point, that it's all over. We're just going to watch it play out that it's done. I don't know in what way it'll play out, but is that, am I off? Are you following me?
Yes, I am. And here's the other part. The bloodlines that have crisscrossed and uh-huh. and they've gone loony and a little crazy, you know, right. And they're getting a lot of press, you know.
Too much.
I hate to say it, but they're the one that's kind of stirring the pot and, you know, getting things on the road to changing, although they're you know, a lot of them are just nuts.
Yeah, and they're keeping it going at the same time, even though they're
they're
speaking against it, they're kind of still keeping you in it.
That's right.
Okay, but yeah, you basically answered it with the other girl, so thank you.
Okay, well, be sure and go back and hear at the beginning of the show.
I'm going to, definitely.
Okay, thank you, Heather.
Okay. Thanks, Heather.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Sure.
Okay, I am going to make sure that we've gotten through all the callers here. Just let me, let's see. Hello, 240. This is Ariel. Has your question
already
been
answered? Hi, Ariel. It's Will.
Oh, hey, Will.
Hello.
I was trying to remember
Hello.
What numbers I've seen. Hello, can you hear me? Will, you're on the air.
Hello. Hi, Ariel. Sorry, my phone's acting up. It's Will.
Hello, Will. Good to hear from
Hi.
You.
Hi, Levendar.
Hey, Will.
How are you? Well, I was calling, actually, I had one question that was really simple, but one of the earlier callers said he had been wondering about the rapture or so, you know, whatever people call it. And now, Ariel, Lavendar, I don't know how your understanding of it is, but I've been led towards studying that for the last few months, and from what I'm getting about the so-called rapture is that it's more of a recall, as you would say, more of a roundup, because I think that after, you know, like the December 2012 shift we're going to make, a lot of people who are here on missions and so who haven't really been keeping up or getting aligned with their mission are kind of going to be called back. Am I right, Levendar?
Well, that'll be part of it. There'll be some that will go on. There'll be others that will reincarnate. There's just a combination of so many things, and some will go to a parallel Earth. Some will go
right.
back aboard ship and function from there. Others will join rings of energies like the Women of the Ethers. There's
right.
just so many different places that souls will go to participate in an evolutionary
right.
jump.
Right, and I'm guessing that the ones who do stay are going to be the co-creators, or kings and priests, as we call them?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay, all right. Well, the question I had originally was, I've been feeling, you know, as we're going towards the lineup that's coming on in like 2 weeks, I've been feeling, you know, a bit of a feeling about it, and I've been having a weird trouble sleeping, and last night, though, I passed out like a rock. And I slept well, but today I was feeling really out of it. And now I've had people telling me that I look different. some people are like, are you okay? You don't look the same. Your face looks different. Did you get a haircut? All this weird stuff. But I wanted to know, are there, like, attunements going on in certain starseed before the lineup that comes up?
Oh, absolutely. They've been going on nonstop.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess that's what some of us, when we go to sleep, we really get put into, like, deep sleep then.
Yeah. And Will, you're going to be just fine.
Oh, I know. I actually, after your reading game last week, I'm feeling way better. So thanks a lot.
Okay, good.
All right.
Thanks
well, have a good night, guys. Okay. Bye.
Thanks, Will. And Will did bring up a good point that maybe we should just talk about a little bit, because it is only 2 weeks until Pleiadian lineup, and certainly some activations have been happening on, you know, on the stairway up to that galactic alignment. But is there anything you want to offer on Pleiadian lineup for this coming November 15th?
Well, you know, if you'll go back to some of the other shows, I talk about what happened last November and how we had so many Pleiadian walk-ins come on the planet, and a lot of starseed was activated for the walk-ins. And then in May, they went to another gear. And so this November, we're going to start seeing more Pleiadian influence through these walk-ins that are all over the planet, not just in the United States. This is worldwide. I want to impress that this is happening in France and England and Spain and Italy and Finland, everywhere. It isn't just here.
Right.
Especially with the Native American Indians and people with Irish and Cherokee bloodlines. Those are really going to start rising to the top. So, educate yourself more, you know, about, you know, go on our website, read all the different information, bring yourself up to date on some of the things that have been said and written about already, so that you'll have more of a guideline of things that may be happening to you if you're part of the Pleiadian lineup.
And don't you, I mean, also other races that are in alliance with the Pleiadians will also be receiving some kinds of activations at that time too, do you
Absolutely.
Think?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, we just have 2 minutes here to go, but we'd just like to remind everybody to take your silica, and especially with this activation that's coming up, you need to have all your wires connected, and silica will do that for you. And it will also help if you're dealing with depression. And remember to get some kind of protection on your cell phone. You got to have safe cell, boys and girls. Well, Lavendar, thank you so much again for sharing your wisdom and the knowledge that you've accumulated over these years, because now is the time when we really need to know what the manual and the handbook is all about.
And someone reminded me of that saying, come now, come later, but you're coming. Yes, that's for sure.
That's right. That's right. Okay, well, everyone, thank you so much for joining us. Remember to share the show with your starseed friends, and we'll be back next Tuesday when Crack Between the Worlds continues. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.